Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Nice to have you along. It's your sports bros. Rob, that's me. Big Suki's right over there.
I blew the 69.
We are having a great show, as far as you know.
Hot light pollution talk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what else did we deal with? Really, that's about it. A lot of hot light pollution talk.
And Bob Baffert.
Oh, yeah.
Good show today. So coming up in the club tonight, what do we have? We have, Bennifer is back.
I know.
How about that?
Boy, she moves on very, very quickly.
Yeah, she sure does, yeah, that J-Lo.
That A-Rod thing, man, that just ended.
Also, get this, Bill Gates was, wait for it, a womanizer.
Oh, can't believe it. So you're trying to tell me that a rich, powerful man liked to lay down with the ladies. I can't believe it.
We also have news of a dramatic train track rescue.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Have you seen that from
no,
the weekend?
I have not.
Ooh, look that
I
up.
I did get into a bit of a train debate over the weekend. I was hanging out.
Hot train talk.
Well, I was hanging out at a house by the, right down there on like Evergreen Highway in Vancouver. Like,
yeah, the train runs through there. Yeah.
And I found myself down there at a house right kind of by the trains. Very nice house, by the way. Doing quite well for yourself.
Was Mark Scholl there?
No, Mark Scholl was not there. And the train came rolling by, and we got into the hot train debate, and I reiterated that I am baffled that anyone could get hit by a train. How do you not hear and see the train coming? And the guy that lives there by the trains, he said that he has almost been smacked by the train several times.
What?
And I'm baffled
by
this.
Isn't that a straightaway too, right there?
Yes.
Like there's no rule.
It's just you got to cross the track. There's to get to the other side.
To get up to Highway 14.
Yeah, to get up to Highway 14. And he claims that there have been several close run-ins with the train. And I'm stunned by that. And we got into a whole thing. What is with people in trains?
Well, we've already talked about that. I would like to know what this man is saying.
He is saying that
that has changed the conversation.
He's claiming that because there's no guardrail or anything, it's like you just leave. He's got a long driveway, and then there's the tracks, and you got to cross them. And he said the train goes so fast, like 70, 80 miles an hour, that you look left, you look right, and then by the time you go, there's the train. And I'm like, no way.
No way.
Because it's the same thing with a car. You can make that. You look left. There's the car, like on the freeway. It doesn't just come out of nowhere.
So he must be right at a turn then, or like at a corner.
You can see. Believe me, on my way out of the house, I stopped at the tracks and looked both left and right. You can see that train coming from 2 miles.
What's this guy's deal?
I don't know, but he claims.
By the way, these are like mansions.
Oh, yeah.
Right behind a train track.
Oh, those are nice.
They're beautiful homes, but. You're right behind a train track.
Right.
That's really strange to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's down on the waterfront. His garage door was worth more than my entire house. Still.
I love a good garage door.
It was all glass.
Oh, yeah?
But it was like you could only see
in. Tinted glass?
Yeah, no, you could see in, but he couldn't see out depending on when the light was on.
Cool.
It was very interesting. It's a very nice house.
I want that.
I wanted everything that he had in the house.
These homes are spectacular. Holy
crap. It was ridiculous. But I'm still baffled.
It was Mark Scholl's house, wasn't it?
The idea. No, it was not. I may have seen him somewhere else a couple weeks ago. I am still baffled at the idea that you can get snuck up on by a train, and yet this guy who does live there claims it's happened several times.
Well, I don't understand. I think he's in the pocket of Big Train.
Yeah.
Big Train's got him talking.
I think if you
telling
get,
fake news.
If you get hit by a train, I'm claiming it is 100%, and I mean 100% on you.
This one was not.
Okay.
This train rescue I'm talking about. You haven't seen this? This was a big deal over the weekend. It happened in Northern California where a cop saved a man from being hit by a train. And there's video of it from her.
I didn't see this.
From her, what do you call that? When
body cam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Body cam footage of it. And boy, is it terrifying.
I have not seen this.
Yeah, his wheelchair got stuck on the track.
Oh. Okay. Let me.
Not his fault.
I'm going to correct my statement. 99% of the time, minus your wheelchair getting stuck or like your shoe getting wedged in the track or something, if you get hit by a train, your fault.
Go look at that vid, man.
Okay.
She saves his life.
Oh, and I was pulling up video of, like, remember the gal that got hit by the Max and then sued and won a bunch of money?
Oh, yeah.
I was bringing up video examples and being like, no, that's on you. The train.
Well, she won because they said there wasn't adequate enough, like, warning.
That girl's a dumbass.
She had her headsets on.
Yeah, and ran right into the train. The train, I believe, gives you more warning than any other vehicle on the planet. There is more, hey, I'm coming. I'm right here. Get out of my way. And yet people all the time still hit by trains.
All right, we'll talk about the Bob Baffert Show this hour. And right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5. Refreshed on the fan by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Being great is really expensive.
Diddly squat diddly.
Number five.
Mets ace Jacob DeGrom has hit the injury list with side tightness.
Even though we're told that the MRI said no damage, which as a Mets fan, I'm just calling it right now. Dude's going to be out a month.
They're saying he should be back 10 days to 2 weeks.
We'll see about that.
The Mariners
being said, the Mets are good again, so there's that.
The Mariners open a two-game set in L.A. against the struggling Dodgers tomorrow. Now, the Dodgers were 13-2.
I think they've gone, 5-14 since?
They are now 18-17.
Yeah, dude, and their bullpens are just
so that would be 5-16
cents. 5-16 cents.
So they have the same record as the Mariners.
Yeah. Dude, it's well, and some of this is they've had some injuries, but their bullpen is an absolute mess.
Best record in baseball through 35 games?
I don't know. Is maybe the Red Sox or A's?
Sadly, it is the Boston Red Sox.
Boston Red Sox, 22-13.
Number four.
Hey, my A's, 21-15.
Kentucky Derby winner Medina Spirit failed a post-race drug test, which could invalidate his victory. His victory?
Yeah.
Her?
His, yeah.
His.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
I thought it was a Philly.
I don't know about that.
I'll look it up.
It's victory. Is that offensive? Will I be canceled in the horse culture?
You are.
The horse had 21 picograms of a steroid in its blood, which is more than double the allotment in Kentucky racing.
Now it's a dude.
They will conduct a spit test now, and if the findings are upheld, by the way, they say this could take like a month or two.
Yeah, so Baffert is sued. He's suspended, but he wants the horse to be able to run.
In Preakness is this weekend.
Yeah.
But they'll conduct the test, the spit test, and if the findings are upheld, the win is invalidated, and then whatever horse came in second will be declared the winner. Bob Baffert has been suspended by Churchill Downs, so he can't enter any horses into their races. He says the steroids did not come from his team.
No, he says that there's a chance that someone peed on some hay, and then the horse ate it that way, and he also claims that the horse is some sort of a victim of cancel culture, which Boy, I think when you get in trouble now, you just go with cancel culture no matter what. Like, oh, no, I'm fine. It's just cancel culture.
The Colts get some help for Carson Wentz signing former Chiefs tackle Eric Fisher to a one-year $9.4 million deal.
Look, the Colts have a really good O-line. They did not address left tackle in the draft as everyone kind of thought they would. And so everyone's kind of scratching their head. But if Fisher can recover from this, this is an all-pro left tackle at $9 million a year. I don't think he's going to be ready to go at the start of the year, which is why Kansas City kind of moved on. But, you know, if he can come back and play, Colts have a chance to have probably one of the three or four best O-lines in all of football. So, savvy little move.
Jaguars have signed Tim Tebow to a one-year deal as a tight end. He has not played in the NFL in over 10 years. He is 33 years old, and he has never played tight end.
No, I just...
Cool little move.
I just don't understand. I just don't understand. Why?
Oh, you understand. Because Tebow's a god.
Am I wrong?
He's a saint.
Look, I'll just say it right now. I want Urban Meyer to fail miserably.
I kind of think he's already on that track.
I want him to crash and burn.
LeBron James. Oh, wait. Sorry. That's number one. Whoops. Oregon men's basketball got a JUCO transfer today who chose the Ducks over Florida, DePaul, Oklahoma State, San Diego State, and St. John's. His name is Rivaldo Soares. Now, he had academic issues out of high school, but he straightened them out, and he wants to graduate from Oregon with 2 degrees.
Oh, okay.
And he will have 3 years of eligibility. Now, he's a 6'6 shooting guard. He averaged 15 points and 7 boards, even 2.5 assists for a JUCO in Texas. He is a 34% three-point shooter, and he wants everyone to know he works hard.
As opposed to not working hard? Ducks have had a nice little offseason, by the way. They were kind of outlining it. They got the JUCO kid. They got a 2-year transfer from Oklahoma. They got a 5-star kid coming in. Ducks are loaded once again and will probably be the odds-on favorite to win the Pac-12 next year.
Number one. LeBron James plans to be back tomorrow for the Los Angeles Lakers. He was a full go at practice today. Now, L.A. plays New York tomorrow and Houston on Wednesday, both at Staples Center. And, of course, the Blazers lead the Lakers by one game for the sixth seed in the West. And that sixth seed is important because that is how you avoid the play-in tournament.
So, basically, what this boils down to, with 4 games left, you need a combination of 3 Blazer victories or Laker defeats. Any combination of those getting to 3 and you avoid the play-in. Problem is... the Blazer schedule is quite challenging. Your final 3 games, well, you got Houston, which is that by the way, that spread on that is 14. But then you finish with Utah, Phoenix, and Denver. The Lakers, on the other hand, with LeBron coming back tomorrow night, the Lakers have the Knicks, which is the big one to watch. But if the Lakers get by the Knicks, their schedule from here on out is not quite as challenging as the Blazers. So they got the Knicks, then they get Houston, Indiana, and New Orleans. So if the Lakers get by the Knicks, you would assume that they will be perfect from here on out, which means Portland basically needs to go 3-1 in their next 4 games to avoid the play-in.
Portland playing Houston tonight without Carmelo Anthony. He is not going to play due to an ankle injury.
And they don't need him because the Rockets are without basically everybody. And what did you say their record was since the...
They are 6-42 since the 4th of February.
And so this is...
I would like to repeat that. They are 6-42 since early February. However, just a couple weeks ago, they beat the... Or I think it was last week. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. They beat the Bucks.
Oh.
So watch out.
No.
It'd be very Blazery to lose this game.
It's a 14-point spread. Go
well,
Blazers.
You said that about Friday, and I cashed with the Lakers. So this would be very Blazery to lose this game. Do not take your eye off the ball. They have DJ Augustine.
And a bunch of other guys that you've never heard of.
And some guy named Tate.
Yeah.
Hot 5, refreshed by Coors Light. Live sports back, always better with an ice cold Coors Light. Coors Light! Mountain cold refreshment. Made to chill. Let's listen to what Bob Baffert has to say coming up next. It's 5:18 on the Fan.
It's time for Who's Leading the Charge? A look under the hood at the coaches, players, and teams getting it done. Brought to you by Battery Exchange.
Ground ball. Farmer. Wizardry from Wade Miley. Miley, a no-hitter.
Yeah, Wade Miley's still in the league. He pitches for the Reds, and he threw a no-hitter on Friday.
Yeah, this is just your weekly no-hitter, I feel like. We're like, oh, yeah, it's whatever. Everyone in the league's hitting like 212, but still, no-hitters are cool.
That's the fourth one so far this season. And I don't know if you know this, but the season is really only about 30, 35 games in.
Yeah, that's what I said. We're getting to the point where it's a weekly occurrence.
Battery Exchange has over 14 area locations to serve you. Free electrical system checks for your vehicle. Go to batteryexchangewithanx.com.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
A couple of people comparing Urban Meyer to Chip Kelly here on the text line.
Yeah, it's, I mean, look, the number of guys that have made the jump from college to the NFL have been successful is very rare. You know, that's, I mean, obviously you have the Jimmy Johnsons of the world, but Spurrier failed, Chip Kelly failed. The Kingsbury is up in the air. We don't know how that's going to go yet. Saban failed. I mean, it's very, very difficult, which is why I kind of look, and Urban Meyer is a really, really good coach. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Urban Meyer in college.
Well, so is Chip Kelly.
Exactly. Like his resume can't be questioned in college, but this idea that he's like, there's just this, you know, see Colin, not only is he just like they, people fall in love with the idea. Oh, Urban Meyer can't fail. Yeah, he can. He absolutely can fail. You're talking about a bad organization that over its history has not been very good, with the exception of you had a little window there with Mark Brunell, and you had the one good year a couple years ago where, you know, they had the Patriots on the ropes. But you're starting from scratch, and you're betting on a young quarterback and a very unproven roster. So I just don't get where this sense that Urban Meyer is going to come in and just automatically turn Jacksonville on its head. I roll my eyes at that a bit. A bit.
You do.
A bit.
You roll your eyes at that bitch?
A bit.
Damn, a dude. Bit. That was aggressive. Well, I don't really see how, I guess I don't really feel that that's a narrative, like that Urban Meyer is like this great savior. I feel like.
Oh, I do. And look at, like, they're, really? They're over under, I think, is like it's 6.5 games.
Well, that's pretty low.
Yeah, it's, considering where they're at and who they're dealing with, there are a lot of people that I've seen the football talking heads jockeying the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, Chip, you know, the thing about Chip, though, with those comparisons, he went 20-12 in his first two seasons.
His offense, which was
20-12,
was
with Nick Foles,
was the best way to put it. His offense took a lot of people kind of by storm, and then it was exposed. And Urban doesn't have an offense like that. There's no sort of gimmick there. Well, by the way, here is since 2000, these are college coaches that have made the jump to the NFL. Matt Rhule, 1 year, 5-11. Verdict's still out, but 5-11.
I think he's good.
Well, he's 5-11. Cliff Kingsbury, 13-18-1. Bill O'Brien, by the way, is the most successful one, 52-48. Chip Kelly, 26-21. Doug Marrone, 15-17. Shiano, 11-21. You know what? That's not true. Harbaugh was the most successful one.
Well, 44-19-1
since 2000.
Oh.
Petrino, 3-10. Saban, 15-7. Steve Spurrier, 12-20. Butch Davis, 24-35.
Butch Davis.
And by the way, Pete Carroll was an NFL coach that went
then
to college,
and then
came back.
So it has to be only college to NFL.
These are first-time NFL head coaches directly from college. And so this is what I'm saying, is the track record here is very, very spotty at best. I mean, there's really two examples of success. One is Jim Harbaugh, and the other one is Bill O'Brien. And you can debate whether or not Bill O'Brien is something that you want to aspire to. And by the way, amongst that failure is the greatest college football coach of all time, who went 15-17.
Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz. That would be that Nick Saban guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Why do you think, okay, well, why do you think that is, though? Not Saban, but just generally.
Because
they're all good coaches.
They're all good coaches. I've always said there's three or four things that are just gigantic leaps when you're going from college to the NFL. First off, as much as the college concepts have made their way into the game, it's still a completely different game. It just is. See no further than I was really good, one of the three or four best players in my position in college, and I sucked eggs in the NFL. It just is a different game. Concepts are different. Just the everything from the hash marks, everything changes from college to the NFL. They really aren't the same game. It is not football is football. It completely changes when you get to the next level. Second, you're not allowed to pick your players. When you're in college and you're Urban Meyer, guess what? You get to recruit your guys. That was the old joke running the NFL draft is, who's going to tell Urban Meyer that he can't pick the eight best players in the draft all in the first round? Doesn't work. The competitive balance versus when you're in college, even if you're at a place like Bowling Green or Utah, you still get to pick your players. You know, you get to go through and hand select them. In the NFL, it is way, it's a different game because the pool that you're picking from is so small and you don't get to hand select them. The other one is you go from being the Lord and Savior over everyone and you control every aspect of their life and can tell them when to do everything to now you're dealing with grown men. And you're dealing with grown men that are going to have hard opinions and are going to push back on you. See Aaron Rodgers right now in Green Bay. And I think it's hard a lot of times for ego guys to fall into that. And then also when you get to the NFL, it's not a one-man show. When you're in college, you can control every aspect of your program when you're a head coach. In the NFL, unless you're Bill Belichick, you are now dealing with a GM. You're dealing with an owner. You're dealing with player personnel guys. The tentacles that get stretched out and you have to be more of a delegator are so much more challenging in college or in the NFL than they are in college. You throw all these things together. Oh, and the fact that the NFL is just hard to win games in the first place. And you see why the track record for college coaches to the NFL is just really, really poor.
You left out Bill Walsh. You know, he was at Stanford before the Niners.
Yeah, so we're going back to what, 1970?
Oh, yeah, you said since 2000.
Since
but
2000.
Just pointing out, you know, the best NFL coach, many think of all time, one of them, was a college coach. So, yeah. And, you know. But, yeah, all that makes sense. I was reading Nick Foles' stats here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Under Chip Kelly in that offense with the Eagles,
yeah,
he went 8-2 with 27 TDs and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, he was great.
His quarterback rating was 119. Mm-hmm. Nick Foles.
But again, the longer they went on, their offense got exposed because it was very basic and people caught up to it.
Damn.
They weren't beating good teams. They were beating the ill-prepared teams. And,
well, he followed that up with 10-6.
And he hung his defense out to dry.
The problem was the year after he went 6-9 and got turfed.
Yep. Also, he got control over the player personnel decisions, which was not a good move.
Nope, was he
not
was the – didn't he trade for who's the old linebacker? Kiko Alonso?
He traded for a bunch of his guys. And then immediately afterwards, they started reversing his decisions and then went on and won a Super Bowl.
So there are similarities. Like, Urban's already, you know, getting his guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tebow, really? Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's just a dumb sort of, I don't even know what that exists. There's no way that Tim Tebow helps them do anything other than, unless he's trying to get Tim Tebow to help get buy-in. And this is the other thing that's a challenge too, is it's hard when you're doing a rah-rah college sort of thing to get NFL guys to buy into it. I've told the story that one of my favorite things that I've read about was when Saban was in Miami, and Joey has talked about this, was Saban trying to do the Nick Saban thing and Zach Thomas and company making fun of him, like openly mocking him, you know, and Saban not able to handle that. Can you imagine Nick Saban at Alabama and one of his players mocking Saban to his face when he was trying to tell him to do something? And I guess that happened all the time in Miami with Zach Thomas and some of these other guys. And you have the story of Dante Culpepper refusing to leave the huddle and trying to physically fight Nick Saban. I mean, these are things that you don't encounter. And so this may be a case, and I think this is what happened with Chip. Chip wanted to bring in his guys from Oregon because they would buy in. And he knew that in order to have his system in place, you have to have that kind of buy-in. So he wanted to bring in young guys that were used to kind of the Chip Kelly way. And it wouldn't shock me if Urban tries to bring in young, impressionable guys that are used to it being his way and tries to get that buy-in. Problem is, it's hard to build a team with just those guys. And you can't treat 30-year-old men with three kids like an 18-year-old freshman in college. Doesn't work.
Text comes in that says, you know, I get that 95% of college coaches fail in the NFL, but don't 95% of all coaches fail in the NFL?
It's very challenging.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, is it any more so than assistant coaches failing? Because they fail all the time.
They fail all the time. Yeah.
All right. Bob Baffert audio is coming up next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Now back to our man, Bob Baffert. He is the trainer of the Kentucky Derby winner who is now under fire because the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit, tested positive for roids.
Yeah, I got an anti-inflammatory, which
shocking.
We know that he injects his horses during training, but he gets it out of their system. He's admitted to it. So why is he shocked that it's still in the horse's system?
Well, he thinks there's tampering. He says it was not them.
And it's part of some sort of horse cancel culture that he went on Fox.
Yeah, I got some audio here. I want to play it for you because I want you to hear what this guy's saying. But
I do love in today's day, like today's age, when you get caught. You can get caught red-handed, the whole Matt Gaetz thing, and you can just double down and be like, it's part of a plot against me, it's cancel culture, this is all BS, and then you just write it out. It's like that NCAA like basketball thing. You just keep like sticking to your guns, and then eventually it just blows over.
Yeah, the lack of shame in people is really unreal, but I think what's even more unreal is that some of the general public believes it.
Yeah, they're like, well, he's defending himself, so clearly
it's just incredible.
He must be fine.
This archetype of guy is the new guy that just he blows me away. These people,
scary.
It is scary. They have no shame. They will continually lie. They will say whatever the hell they want, and people will sometimes believe it.
Yeah,
like they just get to keep. I don't know. It's this weird. It's weird. It's not anything new. It's just that I think our last commander in chief brought it more into the playbook.
You honestly have to have like, it's the Dave Chappelle. You have to have like someone on video doing something, a sworn statement by like six of their friends and a notarized note by their mother saying they did it before someone will believe what is clearly obvious.
Yeah. Well, anyway, here is, so Baffert, this is the fifth time, by the way, one of his horsies has tested positive.
Yeah.
But as he will tell you, they have all been rectified, meaning he's paid whoever off to.
Bribed whoever.
But because horse racing, somebody brought this up earlier. They said horse racing, this was a person who grew up in horse racing, I guess. They were kind of close to it for 20 years. And they said it was just, I mean, you can't even believe how awful it is. Just the.
Well, it's Tour de France. I mean, but it's
just a free for all.
It's Tour de France with athletes that can't say no. So, I mean, what is the old adage? Show me a horse that won and I'll show you a horse that's been doped up.
Okay, so Baffert takes to Fox News, of course. To disseminate his defense.
The bastion of truth, the no spin zone.
Yeah, you've been in the news all weekend. I've watched interviews, read all the transcripts. Are you adamant that you had nothing to do with it? Are you adamant that it did not happen?
Oh, this did not happen. That horse has never been treated with that. And it's a legal therapeutic medicine. And the amount that was in it wouldn't have any effect on the horse anyway, but that horse was never treated with that. And so that's the disturbing part of it. But I cannot believe, I never thought I'd have to be fighting for my reputation and this poor horse's reputation because of the new regulations. The regulators have put, they're testing these horses at contaminated levels. And, It's been a horrible experience.
So, Bob, just the beginning of that answer, you were about to say it did not happen? Is that what you were about to say?
It did not happen, and that's the really seriously troubling part of it. And I'm hiring investigators, but sometimes you never find out, and it's just a tragedy what's happening in this race.
Do you think that the result was maybe a false positive?
Well, we're hoping we're going to do DNA testing. You know, sometimes they can be, they have the wrong testing or whatever. But, you know, Dana, what's happening is they're testing at these picogram levels. America doesn't know about picogram. It's like a salt grain in an Olympic-sized pool. And he had 21 picograms, which has no effect at all. Anyway, it's a legal drug. But the thing is, a few years ago, this would have never been called. In California, they would never call this a positive. They shouldn't have called it a positive. We live in a new world now. These horses don't live in a bubble. They're in an open farm. People are touching them. He went from the Derby. After the Derby, everybody's up there touching them. I mean, there's so many ways these horses could get contaminated. And when they're testing at these really ridiculously low levels, and I've been saying it for over a year now, this is going to get innocent people in trouble, and this is what's happened now.
Yes, innocent people in trouble for the fifth time.
I feel so bad for him.
So he's now saying that perhaps another horse or another person that had this in their system peed on the hay that the horse ate.
Yes.
And that's how it got to
he said they could get a groomer that was on cough syrup that peed on the hay and then they ate that. And it's this damn groomer's fault. And I love how he kept going back to, well, it was a legal drug. And it wouldn't have had any effect. And I've admitted to giving it to my other horses, but I would have never done it to this. Like, he is just...
We also found out there that horses have reputations. Apparently.
Yes, I feel so bad, not for Bob, but for this horse.
I had no idea.
Because I'm sure that horse right now is in some sort of shame spiral inside the his little horsey house. He's all emotionally distraught. He's not eating hay. He can't go on Instagram anymore. The bullies, the cyber bullies are out. God, won't someone think of the horse?
You know, you've got a really good argument in your case when you can't finish a sentence in an interview and keep jumping all over the place and stopping mid-sentence and then jumping to something else.
Well, you also blame cancel culture.
Yes.
Which is true. You know, I mean, the horse may have tweeted some borderline things back in the day. And, you know, once you win the Kentucky Derby, they're going to go back and look at your old tweets, horsey.
Well, isn't the horse only like 3 years old, too?
Yeah.
I mean, how were you at 3 years old?
Yeah, that's right.
How are you expecting a horse at 3 years old to handle any sort of fame like this?
I love that he called it a tragedy, too, man. That guy knows how to spin it.
It is a tragedy.
Well, he's the victim.
Him and Rick Pitino right now. It was after 9/11, and I've been dealing with a lot, and
here's the hard part about a guy like Bob Baffert is that he's great for his sport. He is.
Yeah, people pay attention.
Because he WWEs it up. That's the new thing.
Yeah.
Horse racing, no one cares, really, except when they bet. And nobody really cares at all until the Kentucky Derby. So this guy is still held up as greatness. That's a bit of a red flag about the sport. But at the same time, he's great for the sport because he's the only one that's getting anybody to pay attention.
Well, I compare...
It's like Trump.
I compare horse racing to the Tour de France. And I said this about the Tour de France. I'll say it about horse racing. If they wanted to clean up the sport, they would. But they don't.
No, they're all in the take, man.
Yeah, because it's, you know...
Baffert knows the game. That's the thing. Baffert will play this media game, but behind the scenes, money talks, dude. That sport is so dirty, he's just paying people.
And someone is correct. Trump did call the horse a junkie. He did. He did talk about
this
that.
Horse?
Yes. Yeah, Trump went off.
Trump?
Yeah.
Where is Trump going off now?
He's got his own website.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. And like he does some interviews and stuff. And yeah, I guess
is
he was.
Bullshark.com?
He was calling the horse a junkie. He was all livid about it. He was pissed.
Livid about what? Like
the
against the horse?
Against the horse. He's anti Medina Spirit or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I would have thought he and Baffert were buds. They're like they use the same. They have the same plays in their playbook.
Same playbook. Maybe he's upset that someone's using his playbook without his permission or giving him proper credit.
What happens to the bets?
The bets are fine. Like because they've already been paid out. You can't take them back.
That's right. There's a guy who wrote a book called Equine Regulatory Law.
Yeah.
What a riveting book that is. But boy, I tell you, this is his Super Bowl, Bob Hellinger or whatever.
He's been waiting.
Because he's been waiting for these interviews. He's like, aha, finally they need me. Well, he said that this could, first of all, could take years before they settle it because Baffert's going to fight it, right?
Yeah.
So they don't. The only other time this happened with a Kentucky Derby winner was 1968, and they didn't actually solve it till 1972. Mm. But they did DQ the horse, and the runner-up won. But that doesn't matter for betting because once the paramutual or whatever, is all paid out. Is final. The race is official at that point.
So they can go back and
so it's a retroactive thing, but they don't change the official.
Yeah, they can go back and say that the second guy won, whatever that horse is that came in second, but it doesn't change. You can't go to someone's account and be like, I'm taking your money back.
Or you can't cash the runner-up. Yeah. If you had a runner-up ticket, you can't cash that. Bob Hellinger, author of Equine Regulatory Law, said it's one of the most irrevocable standards in racing.
By the way, this
that they will not overturn the Parimutuel.
So this is 45's comment on Medina Spirit. So now we even have our Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit, is a junkie. And then he goes on. This is this is emblematic of what is happening in our country. The whole world is laughing at us right now. We go to hell on our borders, our fake presidential election, and everywhere else. Exclamation point. Oh, so somehow we went from Kentucky Derby winner being a junkie, that horse, to borders, the fake election, and everyone's laughing at us. So that is from the desk of Donald J. Trump. That's like the
his desk.
That's what he does. Like he puts out statements.
Oh, that's right. He puts out statements
from the desk.
If you'd like to see the website for equineregulatorylaw.com, it exists.
I'm really rich.
And it looks like a TV ad for a mesothelioma lawsuit, and with like big bold generic letters. What is it? It's a new legal textbook history giving a very broad outline of this important subset of equine law. 6 years in the making, equine regulatory law fills a critical need in the thoroughbred racing and harness racing sports world.
No, I'm not.
How quickly would you fall asleep if somebody read that to you at night, like about as this, you go to bed?
Again, about as long as I lasted in the light pollution conversation, 39 seconds. Now, I'm not real big on equine law, but if you want to go toe-to-toe on bird law, well, now we're talking. I'm well-versed in bird law.
Here's somebody who says, I would care more if the horse's name were Funky Cold Medina. Me too. Another one says, Parimutuel wagers stand and that's all that matters. People pretending to care about a damn horse drug test is so weird. That is so true. No one cares. No. What I love is the Baffert. I just love the the Bob Bafferts of the world and his excuses and his spinning and his denials. Short of that, oh my God, who gives a rip?
Yeah, well,
the horse had drug.
Although to be
shocking.
Fair, what people are saying is the issue here is that they drug up all these horses and it leads to the horses just breaking down and being put out.
I know it's very sad, but we don't want to go down those roads because it ends up being very sad and we'll all cry.
And that's why I said if anyone was interested,
the industry is awful.
If anyone was interested in cleaning up horse racing, they would, but they don't want to because there's money to be made.
The industry is awful and Bob Baffert is at the forefront of it.
Yes,
here's a guy
and junky horses. Why isn't anyone putting the blame on the horse?
Hey, can I just say,
why is Bob getting all the blame when it's the junky-ass horse that's
Bob
scoring
said,
behind the paddock?
Bob said the horse's reputation is being sullied, so clearly some people are talking about the junky horses.
Yes, it's about time. I want to put the emphasis where it belongs.
Trump will still skin, he got banned, and, there's a whole, from social media,
Yeah, Facebook and Twitter, everything.
And that is certainly a real
feather in his cap.
Thorny debate. But let me tell you something. That has been wonderful. That has worked. It has worked.
Yes.
Because that douchebag he has to put out statements and no one cares what his statements say. If he were still on Twitter and Facebook, he'd be throwing out all kinds of crap that's got everybody stirred up.
Yeah. Well, wasn't the MyPillow guy, he launched his own. I think
and nobody reads
that,
it.
Is that still around or did that already die?
God, these people.
Would you guys like an excerpt of equine regulatory law?
Yes.
No.
Yes, I would.
God. No. No.
I'm ready for some equine
regulatory law. If there is one equine regulatory law case in American history that deserves its own chapter, it would have to be Kentucky State Racing Commission versus Fuller.
Oh, yeah.
The Kentucky court case that rocked the racing universe finally settled the disputed outcome of the 1968 Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, see, I told you, it took 4 years.
Yeah.
No other single equine law case was fought so fiercely over so long a time, had so many twists and turns, and, in the end, had so much at stake for all concerned.
I'm in.
That this seminal case involved a controversy about the world's most celebrated horse race only added to the high drama.
I like this text. As an environmental engineer with the background in assessing chemical uptake, which is great in and of itself, this guy's explaining what Bob Baffert is doing. He says he is using half-truths to tell a masterful lie.
Ooh, I like that.
That is such a good text.
I do this with my lady
especially
friend all
coming
the
time. From an environmental engineer with a background in assessing chemical uptake. So true. God, yes.
Fuller would have a profound effect, not just on the disqualified horse's connections, but on the entire sport of horse racing.
Well, I guess because it was upheld, right? Or was it not?
The game's very structural foundation, its integrity, was put under a, quote, heavy siege.
Integrity.
With a withering attack on the reliability of the drug testing regimen of its racehorses and the legal system by which those test results were defended in court.
Equine law.
Can we get a reading of the court transcript for that?
You imagine next having segment? To be the, what is it, the stenographer, right? You imagine having to be in there for that?
All right, we got to go. Do we have to break? Are we behind?
I think we have to break.
Or are we ahead? Yeah. Probably behind. It is 5:54 on the fam.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, well, we have no time for anything here. Like, nothing.
No, literally nothing.
But we always want to give you something, so Souk, tell him a joke. Go.
Boy, you kind of put me on the spot there.
I sure did.
I don't know many clean jokes. Most of mine would get me horse canceled.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, seriously.
Not a clean joke guy.
Who has a clean joke? I have plenty.
Well, we should all have clean jokes.
I don't.
But I don't think I do either.
No.
Off the top of my head.
No, I have a lot of extremely inappropriate jokes.
Well, there's your segment. You guys like that?
That's hot. That's hot. What bonus? Well, that's not sports. I was going to say bonus sports, but...
There was nothing good about that segment. I'm not going to lie. But look,
that's not really bonus sports. Plus, the boss will get mad at us if we go long. So what do you want?
And Mike wanted to sexy read equine law books to you. Cost us some time. It's just been a regrettable hour here.
Let's blame him.
I do.
I thought that was great content. I don't know what you're talking about. The music really added a good punch to it.
I'm not going
to
lie. When you read that, I'm kind of into the case now.
Now you want to know.
I kind of want to go back and research that case. Without reading that book, of course.
I have often wondered where you could get older, because I think that you're, what, 46?
I'm 45.
45 going on 8,000.
I'll be 46. What is today?
Today is
what
the
month
10th,
are we in?
The 10th.
May.
May.
2 months.
Yeah. July.
46.
Are you July 8th?
9th.
9th.
Close.
I was often wondering how you could possibly get any older, and I will tell you that if you go home... Turn on the Golf Channel and then look up on your tablet, equine law, you will officially have won the trifecta
of
old madness.
You're right.
Why don't you eat some soft carrots and maybe some soup?
I might.
When you get home as well. Do you need some Metamucil while you read an equine law case?
I'm mildly interested.
Don't forget your multivitamins.
Hey, I take
multivitamins. And by the way, this listener who came
in. You're
also
in your 40s.
And he said, hey, put me down for the Baffert horse again next year.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Yes.
Baffert's going to keep winning this S.
Well, and now it's going to be like the Patriots revenge tour. I hope he just roids the next horse up just beyond belief with as many picograms as humanly possible. Load them up.
Here's a good, this is an underrated text to our show. Rop's birthday is some 7-9 BS.
That is some 7-9
That
BS.
Is great. You yes. get it? Because it's July 9th. 7-9. Yes. Very good. Very good. See, there's content.
That was good content.
Right there. Okay, now let's go to the club next on the fam.